Take and open them up to the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. I appreciate Ms. Rhoda's willingness always to play and sing for her Lord, that we too can enjoy it. One announcement I did forget, it won't be till next month, but we will have the memorial service for Edward Harris. That will be on the 12th, which is a Saturday, at 11 a.m. And we'll be reminding you that as it draws closer. But met with the family last week, and so that is a good time for them to be able to come, and so we will do that. The other thing, Miss Ginger, you let me forget. The flowers. They were given by Lisa and Lawton Simpson for the glory of God, and we appreciate that. Thank you, Miss Judge and Mr. Judge. Deuteronomy chapter 11. The book of Deuteronomy is part of the Mosaic Law given to God, Moses by God. And it outlines what he expected. You remember, this is the Moses had led them out of the out of Egypt, and had been promised to be God's people. And so, a lot of the time in which was spent was training them, was bringing them up, all very much like bringing up children. Because this generation, all they had ever known was being in slavery. They were constantly told what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and all of those things. And so living on their own, experiencing freedom, was something new to them. And the same is true when Jesus came, because he said, I have fulfilled the law. You're no longer under the law, but it's been fulfilled. And Paul speaks of this numerous times, as do others within the New Testament. But the freedom that we have, and oftentimes people who don't totally understand what that means thinks, well, I can do whatever I want, and all I have to do is ask for forgiveness. That's not true. The Lord is willing to forgive anything that we do because Jesus paid it all. But we're not just free to run amok and think that, you know, Lord, there's no consequences to our decisions. We live in a time here that we have seen where our nation has pulled away from its very foundations of being a Judeo-Christian nation. And all of those Ten Commandments, the Israelites wrote 713 more laws to those ten. And I couldn't even venture to tell you how many laws we have on the books. But when you take them at their core and you look at each and every law that is out there, guess what? It rolls back to those Ten Commandments. And then Jesus was asked, what was the greatest commandment? And Jesus gave the first commandment that God had given us, that we should love Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. And so here in Deuteronomy is, and we will see this even in an earlier chapter, but here in chapter 11, this is where that commandment, other than being given to Moses to write in the Ten Commandments, is explained and what it means. So in our nation, with where we have been, we are often touted as the greatest nation that has ever been in history. Folks, that did not come by chance. That came by seeking God in this nation. Our forefathers, when you read the real history, not what they want to proclaim today, you will find that our drafters of the Constitution, our drafters of this republic, as they began to gain their freedom and be independent, spent 2 hours or better every time they met on bended knee, seeking God's guidance and direction and His wisdom before they ever wrote anything. And you look here in, at the time that we are, in another year, we will be celebrating 2026. We were founded in 1776. Now, as wise as old Jefferson and Ben Franklin and Adams and all of those others were, they weren't any smarter than the smartest of our people. Matter of fact, most of them just had good old common horse sense. And imagine with you yourself to look down some 200, 300 years into the future. And when you look at our Constitution, in all of that time, the amendments that we have are so minute in comparison to the number of years. And again, it goes back that they placed it in God's hands and they asked for His wisdom and His blessing. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 11, we're going to see, even though it was for the children of Israel, we will see as we read this and you think about our nation and how it has been truly blessed by God. When we follow His statutes, our homes are the same way. We, the people, make up this nation. But if we fail to, we begin to see the deterioration, not only in families, but as a nation as a whole. And so you and I look forward. B.C. talked about his great-grandson. I think Herman's on his fourth or fifth row of great-greats now. He's working on it. I know Gene has been there and some others. But we look for the future of our children. You know, as we grow up, when we're young, we're looking for everything. And then there's a certain age we hit, at least we hopefully we hit that, that the consideration isn't about us. It's more about our kids, our grandkids, great-grandkids, for future generations. What do we leave them? How do we teach them the true values that our nation were founded on? So if you're able, I invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. If you're able, Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning in verse 13. He says, "And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all of your whole heart and with all of your soul, then I will give you the rain for your lands in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. I will send grass to your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there are no rain, and that the land yields no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, that they shall be as faultless between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of heaven above the earth." You may be seated. Here, God offers His blessings to the people of Israel. God, we have seen, because of our forefathers seeking, and we've talked about that in several messages, that the Lord tells us to seek His face. When we seek Him and abide by His statutes and His ways, we see blessings beginning to form all around us and for us and our families. We see it over and over and over again. You look at our history of a nation, of a people that had separated from England, which at the time was the world's greatest army. And in fact, they had the, if you read in the history, the English said, this was just a minor incursion. We will be able to defeat them very quickly. The war will be over soon. Gee, we've heard that somewhere before lately, haven't we? And the war raged on, but yet the heart and the soul of the people of America overcame that great and mighty army. And although the nation did not wish to get involved with a lot of things, they did sit back, and as war came and came to their doorstep, again, America stepped up, and the blessings that God has placed on America. Folks, I'll be real honest with you. My personal opinion is, yes, I'm thankful for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, but I am also extremely thankful that when He placed me on this planet, He put me in the United States of America. The greatest honor than that was that He put me in Texas. When we say that, we just celebrated our independence. A lot of people don't even realize that it was on March the 2nd. I think that's Gene's birthday, too. Yeah. And the drafters of this republic also sought God in all that they did. So here He lays out for us, notice what He says. And we're going to look at this a couple of times because, as I've told you before, when you read something in Scripture and it is there in one place and it's there in another place and it's there in another place, it's like my old teachers that I used to have. They would bang upon their desk or they would knock on the blackboard and tell me, you better remember this. You could bet you were going to see it on the test because it was important. That was important for the test. And you say, well, that's a test, preacher. I got news for you. Life isn't nothing but a test, folks. That's all it is. God is trying to teach us, just as He taught the children of Israel, to know His way, His plan, and what will benefit us but give Him glory. God's always in the business of being able to bless us. He starts it out right off the bat in verse 13. He says, and it shall be, if you earnestly obey my commandments. That means you and I have to seek Him. That means you and I need to be attentive to His Word. How do you know what His commandments are if you never touch His Word? It's not the fact you have a Bible sitting in the house or maybe you got four or five somewhere. It's the fact of how worn out are they. That's the important thing. How much do you use it? You don't just pick it up when you're trying to dust, okay? If you want to pick it up, to be able to open it up and see what is there. Notice then He says here that He says, which I command you today to love the Lord your God and serve Him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Number one, He tells us to love Him. If we love Him, guess what? We'll have a desire to serve Him. And sometimes He's going to ask us and have plans for you and I that it's not what we thought. It's not what we thought we ought to be doing or what God would have us to do. But if we love Him and we want desire to serve Him, notice there He says, with all of your heart and all of your soul. That's where it comes in. See, we can come to Him and ask the Lord to be our Lord and Savior and let Christ come into our lives. And we love Him, the fact that He saved us. Now that love has to grow. And as it grows, what it means is, Lord, I want to do more for Your kingdom because I have such a love and a gratitude to You for the mercy and the grace that You've bestowed, which means we want to serve. And so God, in His infinite wisdom, has anointed you and I with specific talents. Some we don't recognize. And for those that we don't have, He puts people around us with another calling of the same notion that will help us. We saw that when He called Moses to lead the people. Moses says, I stutter. I can't talk to the people. God said, I got it. Don't worry about it. Your brother Aaron's right there, and he's the spokesman. He took care of it. And no different in this church. That's why we all have different gifts. Is for what one cannot do, another can. And God brings us together just as He brings all of our body parts and puts them together for us to have a unique body. One of the things I heard this past week with the news where they were talking about all this gender identity and everything, and the guy they were interviewing, he said, look, the biggest thing that our children need to understand today, God made you just like He intended to. You're not in a different body. You're not in a different mind. What happens here with this commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and serve Him with all of your heart and your soul. What happens to us in that serving is then where the conflict comes. The old devil's over there and we're still sinful in nature. We got the old carnal body. We've given our life to Christ. But we begin to make those excuses. Well, Lord, you know, I just don't know I want to go in a foreign country for a mission. Them people over there are crazy. Some of them want to eat you. We want to serve as long as it meets what we want. And we can stay in our comfort zone. I promise you here today, if you serve the Lord with your true heart and your true soul, God is going to put you outside of your comfort zone. I see Miss Jean over there shaking her head. That's 98 years of wisdom talking right there. He will put you outside of your comfort zone. You know, when I accepted the Lord earlier on in my life, and then a lot of it, I was kind of like that old prodigal son. And then there was a point I got tired of wallowing around with the hogs and the crud of this world. And I came back to Him and felt like that, you know, the Lord said, you know, I could feel the calling to do some type of ministry. I got news for y'all. It wasn't to be your pastor, okay? And I wrestled with that because the Lord really began to purge my heart. My old preacher there, I told him, I said, I think the Lord's doing service. And I'll never forget, old Brother Rick leaned back in his recliner. We were at his house, placed his hands upon his belly, and he said, maybe you're being called to be a pastor. I said, oh, no, 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 no. And I told him, I said, Brother Rick, I spent 24 years as a cop dealing with people. I don't want to go to a church and be a pastor. Because when I don't like what they have to say and disagree with them, I can't put them in jail. I got to be nice. I can't get rid of them. I can't take them to the judge and let her sentence them away. He just smiled at me and rocked in his recliner. And sure enough. But I will tell you this, too. No greater blessing I've ever had in my life. And privilege. You know, it is amazing what God does. So if you're at a place in your life where God's calling you to do something for Him and you're thinking, man, that is outside my comfort zone, step out on faith. He does not call us to do anything. He's not right there with us. Jesus said, when that time comes that you have to speak, Holy Spirit will put the words in your mouth. And I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of them times right there. And I'd done a lot of public speaking. But I was nervous. And in fact, I had preached over at First Baptist. We'd done it with our music plan, evangelists. See, that's okay because you come in one time, one and done, and you go away. If they don't like it, they don't have to invite you back. But because they're good, God-pleasing people. They're kind and say, oh, we appreciate you so much. Go away. Okay? But when you lock in to be there every week, that's a different story, right? And so when I came and preached in view of a call, she'll tell you, I was nervous as cat on a tin roof. It never bothered me before. That was a new experience, my comfort zone, okay? And the first time that I was ready to give my message, and about halfway up that aisle right over there, Lord said, nope, turn from that page over to this page. And I'm like, Lord, I ain't even read that page. And I'll be real honest, it was kind of like one of those out-of-body experiences, because me was sitting over here listening to me talk going, it ain't me. I don't even know some of them words. How did I figure them out? But what he prepped with that was, is every time, there's a lot of different times that I will tell you what you hear was not what I had kind of planned in my mind. And God tells us, my ways are not your ways. And so I learned that same type of training that he took the Israelites through that wilderness to train them. I learned from him not to plan it out. Seek him. He already has the plan. I just got to seek him to learn the plan. That's serving. That is, and I'm not here promoting me, I'm just giving you real life experience. That's serving with your heart and serving with all of your soul. So over that period of time, it's different. My prayer is not give me a great message, but Lord, let me feed the people you have coming. Be just your vessel. Y'all make me feel real good a lot of times. I'm here to tell you, I ain't that smart, okay? It ain't me. So when I respond to you and say thank you, but it's not me, I'm telling you the truth. Okay? It's not me. Now he says that, and then he follows up of what he will do, the blessings he gives you and I. And as I read that passage, I think about how great he has blessed our nation, the bounty we have. Some people say, well, but you're still so proud to be a Texan. You look across, I'll tell you what, you look across Texas, and you find a piece of the entire United States all in one state. You got coast, you got pine trees, you got desert, you got the cold country with the rolling plains. It's all over. Now, it may look a little different in another state or whatever, but the characteristics are in of entire United States, of God's creation, are in this state. Folks, it wasn't by chance of people saying, God bless Texas, nor is it God bless America, because he has, and the foundations that you find in history. If you turn just back a couple of chapters to chapter 6, now we already know that commandment is in Exodus chapter 20, where he gives the Ten Commandments, but that's the first time he says it. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, and above your Bible oftentimes, or at least in mine, it gives headings about what this section is going to be. And it says, the greatest commandment. It says, now this is the commandment, that these are the statutes and judgment which the Lord God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing to possess. Again, they are headed there. And it says in verse 4, drop down, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So Exodus 20 is first. Here's number 2. Chapter 11 is the third time. And we go back over to the New Testament when they asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He said, these two I give you. Want to guess what number one was? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. That's four times I can give you right quick. It's in here more than that. That's how important that is. That's how important it is to our Lord that we love Him so much so that we desire to serve Him and to follow through for His will in our lives, not ours. See, that's where the devil tries to conflict you and I, is whether or not we really want to do that. And we can make come up with all sorts of excuses. He continues on in that sixth chapter and says the same thing he did in chapter 11, that we are to teach our children, that we are to bind them up and have them as frontlets and bind them on our hand. So what does that mean? It means that it is not about, a lot of people wear crosses and things, it's not about the jewelry you wear. What it should be about is that whatever that is reminds you who is the King and the Lord of your life. That's what that should be about, as a reminder of what it is. And the Jewish people actually have something where it talks about binding upon the doorposts, as you shall write them on the doorposts of your house in 6:9. It also said that in chapter 11, what we read originally. And what that is, the Jewish people, if I pronounce it right, is the Meshua, M-E-Z-U-A, excuse me, M-E-Z-U-Z-A-H, Meshua. And when you find an Orthodox Jews, whatever their own home or any property that they own, that they rent or anything like that, and on the gates of their fields and everything, there will be something up there they call the Meshua. And that reminds them that it's not theirs, it's God's. To remind them of how God has blessed them. What in your life reminds you of that? It's not to be an idol. It is a reminder. A reminder of what you have is not yours, but it is a blessing from God. And we start looking around at the Meshuas in our lives. It may not be one thing. But God's intent in telling us that is that we need to focus on who has taken care of us. We need to focus on the fact that He is the Lord of our lives. Then He tells us that we should teach them to our children. I will still contend today that America's biggest problem is generations prior to the current generation failed to teach by word and by action to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And those blessings begin to recede back. Say, you know, preacher, you lost your mind. No. I see it too many times. It's not political, not trying to be that way, but you look at the past 4 years where we had a leader, a president, who did not support the nation of Israel, which was another one of God's promise, and you look at the change since there is a new administration who says we will support them. America started coming on the uptick instead of the downhill. It has nothing to do with the parties. It has to do with the hearts and the leaders of statutes. When your very premise goes against God's word, I say this to you as well as to me, if I believe things contrary to God's word, it will not turn out well. God will not bless it. Look back there for a moment at chapter 11 where we were at. We stopped in verse 21. Look at verse 22 for a moment. For if you carefully keep all these commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispose greater and mightier nations than yourselves. We look around at what's wrong in our world today, folks. I'm convinced if we have a revival of the Christians who are in this nation today, we will see the evil fall. Evil fails when Jesus Christ shows up. It cannot remain where he is at. Jesus himself told the disciples, meaning you and I, even in his word with real life, he said, when that comes, you tell, and he himself was the example. He listened to the temptations of the devil, and he finally told him, do not tempt the Lord thy God, get behind me. His name, proclaim, dispels the darkness because he is the light. Continues on, he tells them, every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours from the wilderness and Lebanon from the river and the river of Euphrates, even to the western sea shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and fear of you upon all lands where you tread, just as he has said to you, behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. God is about the love. It's not a threat, but he tells us that our choices have consequences. What we choose. He gives us the freedom to choose. We can refuse to accept Jesus Christ or reject him. We can choose to follow his will or reject it. We can choose to love him with all of our heart, or we can be mediocre with it, or we can do it just completely against it. But our choices have consequences. So how does that relate to you and I today? It is no different in our personal lives or the lives of our family, and the heritage we leave beyond us. If we're concerned about the next generations, the right course, the greatest thing we can do today is to teach our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren about the Word of God and His statutes. And how if they will follow it, they will have a blessed and productive life. Does that mean all the evil in the world is going away? Nope. Not till Jesus comes back, redeems us, and the final battle is done, and he reigns forever. But you can't get to that final place without him. Jesus says, no man comes to the Father but by me. God is the beginning, as Jesus himself said, the Alpha and the Omega. He was before the beginning, and he'll be after the end. Your legacy, your heritage that you leave to your children and not only to your family internally, but to those around you will be what? You get to choose that. You choose what will be remembered about you and how you affect the lives of those you have been allowed to come in contact with. And I say that in all honesty. God allows you and I to come in contact with people to touch their lives and for him to use them to touch us. That's the way he works. What's the greatest commandment you look to in your life? What I want to do? Or to love him with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my strength. It's a decision each one has to make. So is the decision of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Because the only commandments he gives us are the same ones that he has heard from his Father. So God's Word, where they say no longer the Old Testament is no longer attributable to today because it's outdated, I got news for you. God's endless. He's never out of date. And He's never late. And He's always right. Always. And He loves each one of us. We cannot even fathom the love that He has. And He desires, by His own words, He desires to bless you and I. That comes from loving Him and serving Him and being obedient to Him. His statutes were never a burden when we truly love Him. They're a pleasure. And He reaps blessings upon you and I beyond all imagination. Not only you say, my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts are higher than yours, but He says, come unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that you never even imagined. I'm living proof of that. And I know there's other living proofs of that in this room. Let's bow together.